This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, I've put an agenda up for the meeting, which I'll just post. And the focus really is on where we are with the release and what issues we want to have in Milestone 1. So I thought we could start off by looking at any newly submitted issues, see if there's anything there that we want to think we should include in the release. So that's the list of those is here. And the only one that's come up very recently is FC Repo 682, which cropped up on the mailing list, which was the text field type for MySQL. Changing the field type to long text. Do we have Aaron with us? I guess not. Having had a quick look at the code for this, this seems like it's fairly trivial to... We do have Aaron. Okay, well, Aaron gets on the call. I should say I'd had a quick look at the code for that, and it looks like it's fairly trivial to fix in any case. Looks like Aaron will be with us in a minute or two then. I mean, my proposal would be to open this and put it in the release as it's fairly small and easy to fix. Does anyone else have any thoughts on that?
I mean, there's no downside to this, basically, right? I mean, there's like something like, I don't know, 3 extra bytes of storage apparently per row compared to text. So I guess
it looks like a small, it looked like a small overhead, unless, you know, Aaron has some inside knowledge which he can share with us on that. I mean, it's a question whether it directly addresses the user's problem, because in this case, they appear to be creating a DC relation field, which is over the minimum, which from my recollection of the Dublin Core spec, you'd have multiple DC relation fields with a single relationship in each rather than one massive field, but and as Aaron pointed out on the list, there's a wider issues with this, that if you do create fields of that length, it's going to run into problems with performance and indexing in any case. But certainly from the point of view of consistency, it would be good to change the type to long text.
Hi, this is Aaron. Can you hear me now?
Hi, Aaron.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay. We were just discussing FC Repo 682, which is the one that cropped up on the list, and you responded, in fact, a short while ago.
Yes. The point that I brought up about that was I think it makes sense to change the data definition in MySQL anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is a fundamental problem with indexing large fields, which, that won't necessarily solve in all cases. And the biggest problem is with databases like Postgres, for example. They because these fields are indexed, it will throw an exception if they exceed a certain size, which is much smaller than the theoretical limit. I think MySQL will just silently truncate them in the index. So, I mean, for MySQL, it'll be okay, but Postgres, and I don't know the behavior of Oracle as well. But.
Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and open this, and I'll include it in this release then.
I think the only consequence is that, so I think this would compel a rebuild, perhaps. Do you think it would for MySQL?
Yes. I mean, I think he manually adjusted the field size himself just to check that sorted out the problem. Are you suggesting, you mean on an upgrade to a new version, for instance?
Well, not necessarily a new version. Although, I don't know when support for this data type was put in. But, if you have an existing MySQL database, I'm trying to think if it would just work or if it requires a rebuild.
I don't remember. I'm not positive, but I don't think you'd hit the code path for this. That's gonna hit a rebuild, or it's going to, requiring like a rebuild if you've already got Aurora. But I think the thing, the issue, I mean, it's a good point to bring up though, because I think in the past, whenever we've made any changes like this, we've forced a rebuild just because we want to make sure that people are consistent. I mean, so that we know that, everyone who's running 3.4 is basically going to, have this. Makes troubleshooting stuff, a lot harder, I think, on the list if, people can basically, their limits are basically out of sync, sort of.
Okay. Do we normally not recommend a rebuild as part of a reinstallation anyway?
No, not for an upgrade if we can help it.
Okay. I'll add a comment based on that, though. I mean, it would be good to force a rebuild because of this, because you're right, it would eliminate any problems in tracking bugs or whatever. But it wouldn't actually require a rebuild per se, would it?
I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree. It shouldn't require a rebuild unless you want that functionality. Because I don't think anything as far as the... there's no changes to the code that actually reads and writes. Eddie's right. It's only the data definition and the behavior that falls out of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll add a comment based on that. We might, when considering to actually do it in the release, we might consider whether we want to do that or not then.
Yeah, I think, so given that, my inclination on this one is, we should definitely accept this and then do the fix. But as far as whether or not it goes into this release or another, this one's pretty minor. And so it would be nicer to group this in with, a release that has something that actually forces, that's going to actually really require a rebuild and just sort of, lump that in with that.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we note basically the workaround for people who are, they have this issue and are using MySQL.
Yeah.
Or alternatively, I guess, it's just one of those things that we note that could be an inconsistency, and then we'll know that we catch it in whatever future release, or we do force a rebuild. But I kind of don't like that unless, this issue is really, bothering.
Yeah. Well, it's down as minor priority at the moment, which means it won't be one of the top ones to include in the release. And I've added a comment to that effect. So in terms of actually picking that up, scheduling it from one of our milestones, maybe we just take that into consideration, and if we don't get around to it, then, or if we don't consider it's appropriate because nothing else is forcing a rebuild, then we can go back to a major release. I mean, maybe we could actually knock the priority down to trivial just so that we don't pick it up by mistake. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that does make sense because the primary driver for this should be you know whether or not we decide that it would be logical to include it, because I think the fix is just a one-liner in like the DB spec file or something, so it's completely trivial to implement. But I think it's more a matter of if we can live with whatever choice that we make.
Yeah. Okay. So I've put the priority down to trivial, so it could be the last one we pick up if we've got time on the release. Okay. Now, we've kind of asked, but only very recently, people to vote on issues they would see as high priority for this release. The link for the issues in terms of voting is there. Now, the ones that I picked up, I've actually listed on the main agenda page. Let me just pull that up. I mean, the top one that's popped out of that list is, in fact, FC Repo 492, which has now got 7 votes. So, although this is allowed Dublin Core, RailsXt, etc., to be managed content rather than just inline. There's potentially a reasonable amount of code coverage in actually fixing this, but I don't think it's a particularly major change from an impact point of view. So my feel on that would be to actually up the priority of this to major, given that it's quite a popular issue. Do folks have any thoughts on that?
I would agree, and I also I identified this as one thing that would be nice to have done before putting in high-level storage. I mean, even though not an explicit prerequisite, but yeah, this is one that I've wanted to see as well. I think upping the priority makes sense.
Okay. Adam Soroka's added a comment suggesting part of the task should be provision of a simple migration tool, and that sounds like a very good idea, because if people have got existing repositories with content where they are, for instance, hitting performance problems, I can see that they would want to migrate existing data streams to be managed content rather than external. So do you think we should make that essentially officially part of this issue?
I think we should in that sense be aware that you cannot change the control group on a data stream without deleting it first.
Yeah.
So if we do that, this adding up, we could call it migration tool, but in effect, we are adding a new API function that allows you to change the control group on the data streams.
I guess it depends how we implement the migration tool. I mean, if you went to DO Manager, because I mean, one thing occurs to me is with this as well is if one migrated, what would happen to the versioning information, and potentially what would one do to the audit trail?
The the audit trail should probably just have a new statement saying that you migrated at this point, and the versioning information should all be moved as individual versions. That would be my obvious feeling.
I think that's what we should do. Is that, does that pose any challenges in terms of coding that, moving individual data stream versions? I suppose if they're added in, well, if you create a new data stream version, won't the timestamps be wrong as well? I guess there's some, I don't know actually, I'm not familiar enough with the code base for this.
Depending on which load we do it, the timestamps are really something we set.
Okay.
They're not magically given. They're not, we could say this is the timestamp to use, but it's getting a little bit hairy because we really need to fix the stuff inside the stuff.
So, I think this has a lot better chance of getting done if we don't include the migration tool as part of it then.
So you're suggesting making it a separate task?
Yeah, I mean, you don't. I mean, well, okay. I guess if the only real utility of this issue is because people want to be able to do the migration, then, you know, I guess we're not really satisfying the issue by, you know, allowing it to code but not actually providing the tool for it. But it kind of feels like a separate thing. I mean, we can basically enable this, you know, 3-4 and forward, and someone else who actually has the interest maybe in, you know, migrating their data streams may, you know, be sent at that point probably the option to implement this.
I agree, actually, yeah. I mean, I suspect, given that people have voted for it, we could be facing a situation where there are people out there who would want to migrate. But on the other hand, in terms of priorities, you know, it might be good if we got this in but didn't get the migration tool in. That would still be a benefit. So I would say yes, add a separate task for that.
And we could do a simple migration tool that disregards versioning information and just put the newest version in managed data stream. And that means loss of your versioning. But some people wouldn't mind.
Right. You know, and I imagine this tool would have perhaps more general use, because I'm imagining there are folks who, you know, might have other data streams that they put as inline XML that they, on retrospect, they would probably might want managed or something like that. So, I mean, that would be a simple thing to do with a general app where you specify what you want.
Yeah. Okay. I'll create a separate issue of that. I've
I would like to link the migration tool thingy to 586. Five eight six is something I reported a long time ago and I fixed, but then Vessel came along and it was my fix was disregarded. It basically means that you can add a data stream without providing a URL for the content, and any migration tool would that's running as any sort of client would very much not like to provide a URL to the old data stream. Content and so on.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Does it make sense then to add this method into the release as well? Add FCRepo 586 into the release. What was on that?
I wrote it as a branch a long time ago when I was new on the committer team because of all the everything should be done as branches and then reviewed before it was put into before it was put into the trunk. Hey, it's listed as in where you are, yeah, so it never progressed from there. I don't know if the branch is actually still around, but the major changes to the code base probably means it has to be done again. The big problem with adding it is that our security policies are based around securing the API methods, not the data.
Well, and the further problem is we'd actually effectively be modifying the whistle, wouldn't we? Which, I don't know, it might be an issue for a minor release, unless we left the existing name as it was, and had an add data stream by value.
As far as I know about the whistles, and this may be wrong, you can add stuff to it without breaking anything. Clients compiled against the whistle would still work. But aside from that, I feel we should make a new add data stream by reference and by value, but keep the old add data stream methods.
Okay. So we're effectively essentially deprecating for now and removing it in future release.
Yeah. But, if we want to keep the distinction between by reference and by value, I think that's what we should do, because we'll have to distinction on modify.
Yeah.
But people need to know that there's now another access to that repository that might not be secured, that might not be protected by policies. I'm really looking forward for when we are getting policies on the data and on the APIs.
Okay. Does that mean we should be changing any default security policies?
I think this should just inherit whatever default security policies exist for a data stream.
Okay. I shall update that one then.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one I picked up on the list was FC Repo 509, which is that the REST API does not properly handle ingest with FoxML that do not contain a PID, which I suspect would be fairly trivial to fix.
You might be surprised.
Yeah, that's a good point. We had a couple of non-committer votes for that, which suggests to me that we might include consider upping the priority. The other side of this is I think it would be good to get, you know, as much of the REST API completed as soon as possible. So if we can, you know, aim to achieve that within 3.4, I think that would be good. What are people's thoughts on that?
I think it would be good to get the REST API better, more complete in 3.4. And so I feel it should have a high priority. If we get a good fix for this, I so want to have it linked to the fix that requires you to specify the PID in the world's X data stream.
Okay. Any objections to upping the priority on this one?
I think it's a good idea.
I actually think this might be a misunderstanding. I have to check, but you should be able to create objects without specifying a PID.
So are you saying that this might be fixed already?
I just have to check the documentation, but I'm going to the code instead, that's faster. But yeah, I have a feeling it might actually be fixed already. I'm not specifying PIDs when I do stuff. Open the door. Let's take 3.3, that's probably the best. I'll be right back on this one.
Okay. I've upped the priority. So basically, if you find it has been fixed, if you can verify that, then just go ahead and close that.
That looks like it might be. I don't think it's just saying that the FoxML doesn't contain a PID, but that when it's posted, it's posted to something that indicates a PID.
You mean you're posting it, and in the URL is embedded the PID that you want.
That's what the issue appears to be saying. It's a kind of mix there. I think you can ingest FoxML that doesn't have a PID at all, as long as it doesn't have RELSX. But I think what Bill's reporting here is that if you post it to the intended new PID, and the FoxML does not have a PID, then he gets it here.
This isn't possibly a URL. This couldn't be a URL encoding issue, could it? Colon hasn't been URL escaped.
Well, that's just the PID class. That's the first thing it's catching as. Condition it's failing on is that it doesn't see a delimiter for the PID, but because there's just no PID in the FoxML. And so, I mean, as I read this issue, it's that, I mean, in a sense. The SOAP and REST APIs will differ then in behavior in the sense that if we do this appropriately, you can submit a FoxML that will be valid for the REST API, but that won't be API because for the REST API, if we do this issue, you won't actually have to have the PID in the FoxML, but you'll create one because you've embedded the PID in the URL, right? As opposed to
right.
Either so, or you'll get a new one just created for you by Fedora. But I think that's okay because I think that's actually the point. I mean, if someone's posting to a new PID, that is the intended, that is the desired behavior.
Yes.
That is actually correct, and it is not fixed. I hadn't considered the very exact nature. If you're posting to a PID but not including a PID, that combination of stuff is not accounted for.
Okay. Well, that's I've modified the priority on that then. Okay. And the next one I have on my list here is, let me just pop that in, that's FC repo 654. So, again, there's a couple of non-committal votes for this. This is to extend the REST API to have methods for exposing and manipulating relationships, which is, I think the sort of open question areas here, certainly for exposing relationships, it shouldn't be too much of an issue, but for manipulating relationships, we're kind of thinking, what do we do in terms of updates and deletions, and kind of what syntax or language do we used to specify that, whether we use Sparkle Update, for example, was a suggestion. So there's probably a bit of design work about what we actually want to implement there. But in principle, again, as part of extending the REST API, and it's something I have seen people ask for in the list, my feeling would be, again, to increase the priority of this under what other people's thoughts are.
I'm against it because of the no clear path, but that is not a good reason for why it's not a high priority.
No. Wait, Alka, you're against it. You're against it. Why? I didn't catch.
Because there's no, as Steve said, there's no clear way of how should we do this.
So this is not the at least extend the REST API to have parity with the SOAP API relationship methods, because there's that's still missing from the REST API as well.
The problem with that, and I've been thinking about that a while ago, the problem there is that we're not very comfortable with the relations being addressable resources in themselves. And besides that, relations do not roll in code very nicely, if at all. So getting some very long, very nasty URLs if you're going to put it all in the URL. Otherwise, you have to have some sort of postable language for specifying what it is you want to do.
Okay. But, I mean, because the link in this issue, at least for me, is returning a 404, so I guess it wasn't clear to me, really what the scope of this issue is. If it is indeed just to implement the rest of the relationships methods that are in the SOAP API and not in the REST API, or if it's, I mean, I'm trying to find, I know we had another issue for this.
I think the
535 and, FC repo 535.
This link should not be a 404, by the way.
Yeah, it's just that moved over to the FC repo space.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm happy to change that for you, Steve. But
excellent, thank you. Yeah, 535 was part of completing the REST API, and where did we get to on that? We closed it. It says it's covered by 543, which is what?
Which says in November of 2009, we agreed that 543 doesn't include the relationship-related methods. So we didn't actually do it. We just punted.
Yeah. I mean, I do think we should have relationship methods in the REST API. But I guess the question is what the implementation is. So does that mean we shouldn't up this to a high priority and then work on defining it to the right level of detail? Or do we need to... I mean, we should maybe open it for comments on the list as to how we implement it.
If we can get some sort of consensus among the users of how they want this feature to be enabled, then that would be nice. What's holding us back is not really to do it, but how to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, do we have any objectives to being moved to high priority? Based on we might not actually be able to define it, and therefore we might have to drop it in any case.
I don't have an objection to that, but I do want to ask whether it's dependent on the other issue you were looking into about subgraphs within the resource index.
I would say that at this point it wouldn't be.
Okay.
But in the future we might choose to add different methods. I mean, again, we need to kind of keep an eye on the future in terms of how we implement this so that we don't lock out anything for the future. Actually, a bit of feedback on the subgraphs thing is I did do a little bit of testing and hit some fairly significant performance problems combining models using views, which I need to take up on the Mulgara list again, because the response was it shouldn't theoretically be much of a performance issue, but it clearly was at the moment. But okay, let me comment on this then.
Hey, so just as a heads up, I've actually got to leave in 5 minutes because I've got to pick up my car from the mechanic before they close. So
okay.
I'll just be driving off. Silently.
I think, Eddie, before you go, I think I saw something on the mailing list that you committed the make Fessel default, right?
Yeah, just the auth end part, like we talked about last week.
Okay. And then that's, okay, just the auth end part that we talked about last, okay. Yeah, I wasn't on last week's call.
Oh, cool. Basically, I think I referenced the issue in the commit log, but basically that at least until we get to sort of code freeze time, we're going to have that be Fessel's auth end the default, just so that we as the committers are giving it some attention and use. And then we can make the call around code freeze whether or not indeed we want to have as the default for 3.4.
Okay. And as far as like the auth z part is not. So we do not have a dependency on dbxml at
right.
this point.
Yeah, okay. We're definitely not making that auth z the default. Fessel auth z the default until we can get rid of dbxml as a requirement. I mean, and other stuff as well, but that's definitely has to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Sorry, I just wasn't up to speed on that.
No worries.
Okay. Those were the three that I'd already picked out based on the voting. But I believe there's a couple of others there that have also got high priority. Let me just have a look at those. Okay. When I'm looking at the voting, I'm mainly looking at non-committer votes, to basically see what the rest of the community feel. So for FC repo 504, Asker, you've got a vote for that. So at the moment, I'm just viewing that as one vote.
504. Yeah, I voted for that. It's still something I'm feeling. Not strongly, but feeling medium about.
Okay. Let's have a look. Another one we've got is FC Repo 663. We do have a couple of votes for that. And this is to remove XML and HTML documents from Java code and use templates instead, which is something that Kai raised, which certainly sounds like a good idea.
I think it's a lot of work, probably.
You think it's a lot of work?
Yes. there's quite a number of instances where some markup fragment is hidden somewhere.
That's true, and actually the test cases are littered with this sort of thing, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
but nonetheless, I strongly feel it has to be done, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd suggest we leave that as priority minor for now, then, unless we get heaps more people voting for it. Any objection to that?
We will never get heaps of people voting for this. the internal Java code in Fedora.
Yeah.
It's mainly a readability and maintainability thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if I leave it as minor, that means basically, you know, if we have time during the release, we'll consider it. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think that one could happen. For instance, if someone either touches a class that's doing this, or you know, makes a new JUnit where then they start using string template instead, and that sort of at least gets that ball rolling, and then, you know, sets the pattern for then doing some refactoring piecemeal. I don't see any of the committers sort of picking this up wholesale to do for kicks.
So how about if this issue was mainly just about introducing the framework so that it can be implemented in bits of code. When we hit it and up it to
which
major...
Which we're discussing now.
Yeah. So this issue isn't about removing every single piece of XML, HTML, etc. from the code, but providing a mechanism for doing that in the future. What's the thoughts on that?
I think that could be quite helpful if we had some factory method somewhere that provides templates and some defaults so that it gets easy to use templates. I think that could be helpful.
Okay.
I think that some of the major refactoring with the springification and the high-level storage might touch, how do we say, a lot of the code anyhow. So having a template, finding out how, after we have the springification done, how we should have a template system available then would be a good idea, because then all the new code hopefully use this template system. But if we want to go through all the old code before we've done these major changes, I'm feeling we risk losing a lot of time doing that. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, I'm off hold. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. Okay, I've added a comment to that effect then, and I'll increase the priority of that to major, based on the fact we got a couple of votes for that. Okay, and the final one that's got a couple of votes is FC Repo 650. And this is define canonical dereferenceable URIs for Fedora resources. And this is just a documentation update to effectively make a public statement that the REST API represents URIs for resources. There's no actual code changes.
No, but we certainly need to commit to stuff.
Sorry, say again, Oscar?
We need to commit to stuff. We need to commit to this URL. Actually, you could be used as an identifier for said resource. That sort of, this one at least would not have been doable before we stabilized the REST API in the last release. And I think if we have a new stabilized REST API version 2, then it should be linked to that.
Okay, so what's your view on whether we should do this or not at this stage? Should we hold off until the REST API has got a bit more traction, do you think? Or
no, but I feel we should be strict or about what we're promising. We're saying that digital objects and data streams are dereferenceable or something, URIs. But those are the only things. Or should we also say object properties, relations, and so on. We should be careful about saying anything we can do with the REST API. Are actually URIs to resources. Because you can get it with the REST. Does that mean it's a resource?
I mean, at this stage, I think the proposal is just for Fedora objects and data streams.
Follow on from this could also be that we could use these as identifiers in the resource index.
Absolutely. Yeah, this would be a precursor to that, in fact.
Yeah.
There is a separate issue which we're not going to tackle in this release, which is to allow both the Info Fedora form of URI and an HTTP resolvable form as well.
In that case, we should link those issues.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel we can do this. It's easy as documentation, it's just meaning we're saying this is what they mean, and we are sticking to the objects notation in the REST API, and so on. It means we're not changing objects to something else.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I shall mark this as high. Sorry, up it from minor to major. And it would be just worth adding a comment to make it explicit that we only mean objects and data streams. And I'll go back and I'll add a link to that as you suggest, because that's quite correct. Okay. So, in terms of voting so far, there's a whole bunch of stuff that just got one vote, but I'd say that we leave those for now and see what happens, especially as that email has not been out too long. Where are we? So the next item I've got on the agenda there is whether we should consider completion, whatever that means, of the REST API a high priority for this release. I'm not quite sure where we are in terms of outstanding issues. I've listed a number there. And I'm not sure if we actually need to basically go back and explore what may still be left in the Lite API isn't yet covered. I think Described Repository is one that Asker highlighted. And there's a question mark over how we implement that.
One thing I know that's lacking is a place to put stuff so it can later be ingested, because so many API functions need URLs.
Yes.
It shouldn't be difficult to do, even though the global page would. We still need to get to. I don't know if you want to be able to upload managed content by value. Anyway, yeah, we won't, because I made an issue of that, so we want to do this. No mind what I said.
Okay. So. So basically, just to confirm that, Asker, you think in order to deprecate the Lite APIs, we need some ability to upload content to a temporary location?
Yes, it is at least until we get the method for making data streams by value. That is the way of ingesting new data streams. It is not a way, it is the only way. And is the pattern that is used in for most, if not everybody. Everybody who works with the Fedora client, I think, and most people who don't.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to support that in some fashion. We cannot just drop it and say, do by value from now on. That will break compatibility.
Sure. Okay, I'll go ahead and raise a Jira issue for that. We'd have to consider where we kind of upload content to. Yes, you're right. That needs that definitely needs doing. And what we probably need to do is group any outstanding REST API issues under one overall issue, just for ease of navigation. There are a number of other outstanding issues which I've got listed there, which are down as priority minor for the moment, but I suspect most of these are fairly trivial, so what I'll do is I'll group all of these together into one catch-all issue, and then we can essentially review it as a whole and consider whether we want to include the whole thing as high priority. How does that sound?
It sounds good to me at least. There are many about the REST API, and most of them are minor one-liney bugs and fixes. But I have no overall view of what's actually out there at the moment.
Okay, yeah, no, it would be good to get an overall view. I know we had the same situation for the previous release when we had a catch-all issue for the REST API, which we basically made a call on, we've done enough for now and closed that issue, so I guess it's the same situation. We lump everything in there, and we may end up dropping something if it's very minor. But to have it all in one place would be good. So, okay. I mean, the final thing I've got on the agenda there is unassigned issues. Let me just pop the link in for that. And I guess in terms of how we were proposing scheduling this release, it was a case of picking off the top priority issues, getting them assigned, and then looking at the overall workload and whether we could achieve that in milestone one. We're actually about a week later than I anticipated in terms of getting to this stage. What I'd propose is we keep it as kind of three weekly milestones, just to kind of work out in practice whether that's a good way of scheduling based on three-week chunks. Does anyone have any thoughts on that?
I'm not sure I actually understood what you said. We should not assign people to anything. We should just try to get stuff fixed and move on, and then assign people to the unassigned ones at a later stage. Was that the intent?
No, there's a couple of things. One is, I mean, obviously, if you're going to work on something, you should assign it yourself to it. The idea was, in terms of scheduling the milestone, we would try and get high priority issues assigned, and then moved into the milestone, which we don't yet have a tag for. But I was talking about the overall scheduling, because in terms of the proposed release calendar, we are about a week behind where we wanted to be in terms of defining what milestone one was. So what I was saying is, what I'd basically say is, if we consider the next 3 weeks for doing milestone one tasks, on that basis, I would say if people can assign things to themselves for whatever remaining time they've got in those 3 weeks, basically with the idea being from 3 weeks from now having a deadline to get all of those items closed. What we do need to do to have better management of that is actually have a milestone one tag beneath Fedora 3.4, and then that'll make it more explicit. I'm not sure if any of that made sense at all. So
That made sense. That made a lot more sense. And yes, a quick way of finding out what is in what of mine is in milestone one.
Yeah,
what unassigned is in milestone one. I would very much like to be able to query that easily.
Okay, I'll maybe drop Chris a note on how we set that up, because yes, that would help things a lot. But otherwise, it's just a case of looking what's assigned to you. And just verifying that based on the time you've got available to work on for your issues, whether it seems doable. Once we get an official milestone one tag in there, I'll put that up separately on a page, and we can essentially track milestone one as a separate bunch of issues. There was one other thing, actually. What was it? Oh, Asker, yes. In terms of the issue you've raised for implementation of enhanced content models.
Yeah. Enhanced content models, yeah. That's a very long time ago, yeah.
Yeah. What out of that? What's the number for that?
Just check what I have.
683.
No, it has content models.
It's the one you raised this morning, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I misunderstood, but...
That
one.
Yeah, okay. I can't recall off the top of my head. Are we proposing implementing all of these as part of Fedora 3.4, or do we need to separate some of this off?
I don't think it's been probably discussed since the London meeting. We felt that they could go in together, and I think we thought they should go in together. At that point, 3.4 was ill-defined. So it wasn't really... So that bit of it wasn't addressed. It's made... putting it in, it's actually a two-part task. Putting the stuff in there is part one. That's basically changing schemas and saying, this is the standard we go by. And the second part is making a validate method, which will be an API method, I presume, that allows you to validate object against the content models and tasks. We could do either. We don't need to do both. Even though the validate method would be sort of not so useful at the moment if we don't do the enhanced content models. We can still get it in there, saying there is this method. It doesn't do it very much, but it's there.
Okay. Is it worth maybe... splitting that issue into two separate sub-issues then and tackling them on that basis?
I actually think that could be worthwhile. That could be worthwhile.
Yeah.
Because this is a very big thing altogether. I'm creating a new issue for the validator.
That would be great. Thank you. Okay. And as far as the agenda goes, then, that's kind of all I wanted to cover, really, other than just kind of verifying if the workloads make sense for Milestone 1 or if anyone's got any other comments on how we are scheduling this. I guess we won't really know how it's working until we get a bit further through, really. Or indeed, if there's anything else that anyone wants to raise to discuss.
I'd say just let it run its course, and then we'll reevaluate at the end of milestone one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to be on vacation for a week from tomorrow, and I believe Chris will be back by then. But I'll drop him an email in the meantime. But otherwise, unless anyone else has got anything else, then I guess that's it.
Okay, talk to you next week. I have a lot of minor issues to start working on.
Okay, great. Well, thanks very much, everyone.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Hi.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.